Good evening, good evening. Well, here we are. Apparently, this is the last session of this semester, the 2021 fall semester. As I shared with you before, it really passed fast. If you can only imagine, it just seemed like it was just yesterday that we began this semester. You know, I always like to do business first. So I know what's on everybody's mind. According to our calendar, next week is our final exam. I do encourage you to continue watching your portals, because we know that, you know, it's always subject to change. But right now, your exam is next week, beginning December the 14th. In this class, the only two quizzes we have had will be the one from last week and then the one from this week. Because it's such a short session here between the exam number two and then the final, I am going to encourage you to review exam one, exam two, and then book four. You can read book four, chapter four, prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. Now, in this chapter, we will not be able to complete the chapter, but, you know, wherever we stop, then you can go ahead and consider that, or just go ahead and just look at the quiz, which would be quiz number, I think it's 10. So it'll be quiz number 9, quiz number 10, and then reviewing the exam 1 and exam 2, and that should cover our final exam. Okay, we will go ahead and we will pick up where we left off in our last session. Let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, giving you all the honor, giving you all the glory, all the praise, all the blessing, all the thanksgiving. We are so thankful and so grateful for all that you have said and for all that you have done, Lord God, throughout this semester, throughout every class, Lord God. Father, we know that you have done things for us, said things to us that our natural minds have not yet comprehended or understood. But by the Spirit, Lord God, we're so thankful that you have given to us to know all things, Lord, in time. And we give you the praise and we give you the honor and the glory for that. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, who's always present, Lord God, to help us, to show us, to teach us. How we thank you for our apostle and the apostolic anointing that you have placed upon him, Lord God, that we have been able to glean from, Father. Thank you for every instructor. Thank you for every student, all the homes, and all the families. We are forever grateful, Lord God. And we will always give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise, the blessing, and the thanksgiving for it all. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. We are continuing with book four, chapter four, prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. I know in some ways second year students have a little edge on the first year students, because this is a chapter that we also looked at last year. It's been a little different, as you have seen, but as written in the book, it's going to remain the same. Last week, I think we left off and we were talking about gratitude, and we're looking at what Thanksgiving is, what gratitude is, and how important it is for us to meditate on God's word. We said that gratitude, if you'll recall, was born of meditation on God's grace and on God's mercy. And then we talked about love. And then I think right here is where we ended up. Our author talks about Paul and his appeal, for example, to the Romans. And I think we may have gone over this. He said to the Romans to dedicate themselves wholly to God, a living sacrifice. And the constraining motive, you know, for this dedication was the mercies of God, the mercies of God. And if you would look in Romans 12, 1, and it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies, amen, by the mercies of God. Because, you know, he has, remember we talked about the mercy and we talked about grace. You know, he has not given us those things when we messed up. He has not given us the things that we deserved as a result of our mess up, amen. By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then our author goes on, he says, consideration of God's mercies not only begets gratitude, but it induces a large consecration, a big word, huh? Consecration to God of all that we have and are. Amen. Now, I'll read that again, but it's in your book. Consideration, when we consider God's mercies, not only does it make us grateful, amen, but it causes a large consecration to God of all that we have. We consecrate all that we have and all that we are to God when we begin to really, really meditate on the mercies of God. As a result, our author says, prayer, thanksgiving, and consecration are all inseparably linked together. Gratitude and thanksgiving, you'll remember this, always look back at the past, though it can sometimes take in the present. That's one of the questions on the quiz. But he said, prayer always looks to the future. Thanksgiving deals with things already received. And we talked a little bit about this in light of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, where, you know, we know it's already done. So when we pray, we can go ahead and thank God at the time we pray. Amen. Remember over in Mark chapter 11, it says, well, let's look at it. Because I might quote it wrong. I might quote it wrong. Mark chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 24. Mark 11, very, very, very familiar scripture. We always focus on verse 23. Mark 11, well, I'll read 23 and 24. Mark 11, 20, well, let's go up to 22. Remember, we talked about this when we did the lesson on faith. Verse 22, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. But verse 34, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Hallelujah. Believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. So at that point, at the point that you pray, when you believe that you receive, then you can go ahead and you say, can say, thank you. Amen. You can have that attitude of thanksgiving at that particular point. Then we refer, remember, to Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, who hath blessed us. Amen. Past tense, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, you know, our author is just saying, you know, thanksgiving happens when we receive. He said, gratitude and thanksgiving always look back at the past, though it may take in the present. Prayer always, he says, look to the future. Thanksgiving deals with things already received. Well, we can thank God before we receive them. That's all we're saying. Thank him. Prayer deals with things desired, asked for, and expected. Our author, that's according to our author. Prayer turns to gratitude and praise when things asked for have been granted by God. As prayer brings things to us that beget gratitude and thanksgiving, so praise and gratitude promote prayer. You know, when God has answered your prayer, that's all our author is saying, then that is what, you know, promotes more praying and induce more praying, he says, and better praying, because you now have that confidence that God heard you, that God answered you. He goes on and he says, gratitude and thanksgiving forever. Now, this is real, real important. Gratitude and thanksgiving forever stand opposed to all murmuring at God's dealings with us and all complaining at our lot. Amen. So no murmuring and no complaining. Gratitude and murmuring never abide in the same heart at the same time. That's what our author says. Gratitude and murmuring. You know, if you're grateful, you're not going to murmur. Amen. Or if you murmur, then you're not grateful. Gratitude and murmuring never abide in the same heart. And I like that he put the at the same time. Amen. Because, you know, I guess that there are going to be times that, you know, you don't feel that you're murmuring. But then when you realize I shouldn't be murmuring, then you go back and begin to meditate on the goodness of God and the love of God and the grace of God, and you stop the murmuring, and then you begin to praise God. Amen. So even though you murmured, that was at one time, but now you're able to praise, and we're going to see this in just a few minutes. Excuse me. An unappreciative spirit has no standing beside gratitude and praise. Unappreciative. True praying, well, I guess if he says, our author says true praying, I guess there's a false praying. True praying, he says, corrects complaining and promotes gratitude and thanksgiving. I guess that's a good test. True praying corrects complaining and promotes gratitude and thanksgiving. He goes on and he shares with us, murmurers, people who murmur, are ungrateful people. Oh my God. Murmurers are ungrateful people. Appreciative men and women have neither the time nor the disposition to stop and complain. That is so good. Appreciative men and women have neither the time nor the disposition to stop and complain. And I have in parentheses here, the children of Israel complain. Amen. For this, God was several times greatly grieved. And I think we looked at that. Remember when we read Psalm 70? Let me get to it. 78. And we read verses 40 through 42 when we looked at it. It says here, for this God was several times greatly grieved, and it took strong praying. It took strong praying of Moses to avert God's wrath because of those murmuring. Remember when we looked over in Psalm 78 at verse 40 through 42? Verse 40 says, how oft did they provoke him? Talking about provoking God in the wilderness. And grieve him in the desert. Verse 41, yea, they turned back, and look what they did. They tempted God and limited Oh my God. And limited the Holy One of Israel. And then in verse 42, they remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. You remember, we read that. So, you know, it says here that for this, for their murmuring, God was several times greatly grieved. And it took the strong praying of Moses to avert God's wrath. You know, he was going to destroy them all, if you remember that, because of the of those murmuring. The absence of gratitude left neither room nor disposition for praise and thanksgiving, just as it always happens. When you're not grateful, amen, it does not leave room or disposition for praise and thanksgiving. But when these same Israelites were brought through the Red Sea, amen, when they were brought through the Red Sea dry, while their enemies were destroyed, there was a song of praise led by Miriam, the sister of Moses. One of the leading sins of these Israelites was forgetfulness. And we talked about that, amen, was forgetfulness of God and his mercies and their ingratitude of soul. This brought forth murmuring and lack of praise, as it always does. Now, when they came through the Red Sea, let's look at it. Exodus 15 and verses 20 and 21. Exodus 15, this is not in your book. Exodus 15, 20 and 21. Just make a note. Exodus 15. Now, they'd come through the Red Sea, and when you began to read this, you know, that's when Pharaoh's army, you know, they were destroyed. But the children, God parted the Red Sea, and they were able to walk over on dry land. And so when we look at verses 20 and 21, since our author talked about Miriam, this is the sister. And Miriam, verse 20, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." So she's praising God. She's praising God. She's thanking God. Now, remember we said, you know, that the murmuring and complaining can't be in the same heart at the same time. Now, let's look at this same Miriam over in Numbers chapter 12. Here she was praising God. They had come over over the Red Sea. But in Numbers chapter 12, I mean, Moses had led them. In Numbers chapter 12, let's look at verse 1. I keep skipping it. Amen. Numbers 12, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Amen. Now, they were just praising God and thanking God. Moses brought them through the Red Sea, but they forgot. They forgot all about that. Amen. Verse 2. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us, murmuring and complaining?" And the Bible says, "And the Lord heard it." Amen. Now the man Moses, verse 3, was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, "Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Verse 9, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. The same Miriam was the one we just read who was praising God for bringing them through the Red Sea. But now here she is complaining and murmuring against Moses, the man that God had chosen to bring them out of Egypt, cross over the Red Sea. And as a result, she was smitten with leprosy. Now we see later on, Moses is going to pray for her and she would be healed. Amen. Glory to God. And, you know, and we're talking about, but when these same Israelites were brought through the Red Sea while their enemies were destroyed, there was a song of praise. And we read that, led by Miriam, the sister of Moses. One of the leading sins of these Israelites was forgetfulness of God and his mercies and ingratitude of soul. This brought forth murmuring and lack of praise. Okay? This brought forth murmur. When you forget, amen, you start to complain, you start to murmur. And our author says, this brought forth murmuring and lack of praise. And I made a note here, as it always does. Amen. When we don't remember the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God, then we start to murmur and we start to complain. Our author goes on and he talks about Paul's writings to the different, I don't know if it was churches or just groups. One was the writing to the Colossians and one to the Thessalonians. So these were the churches. Amen. When we look at Paul's writing to the Colossians in chapter 3 and verses 15 and 16, and he's talking about, you know, thanksgiving. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And then he says, and be ye thankful. That's Colossians 3, 15 and 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Amen. So he starts off by saying, be thankful. And then, you know, when you're thankful, then you're going to have a song of praise in your heart. And that song of praise should be to the Lord. And then also to the Colossians in chapter 4. So that was chapter 3. Chapter 4, verse 2, continue in prayer. Watch in the same. Watch in prayer with thanksgiving. Now, you know, we look at that word watch, because a lot of times when we see, you know, watch, we think about with our natural eyes, you know, praying and watching, you know, watching. But I believe that there is a spiritual watching that I just want you to take note of. When you're praying, he's saying continue in prayer and watch while you're praying. You know, see over in Habakkuk, remember chapter 2, I will watch to see what he will say unto me. God is going to be speaking to you. And so you're listening. You're not just watching with natural eyes. You're watching with spiritual eyes. You're listening with spiritual ears. And you're going to be doing that with thanksgiving in your heart. And then he goes on, our author, he looks at Paul's writing to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Very, very familiar scriptures. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. In everything. I had a little note here. Not for everything, but in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you remember when we started off with this, you know, I was telling you how important it is to always be thankful, always be grateful, always. There is always something that we can thank God for, always. Amen. You know, even if you want to just begin with, you know, if you're saved, I'm not going to hell. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's a good thing, a good thing. You can start there. And then from there, you know, you'll begin to see other things that you're grateful for and you're thankful to God for. Amen. Whenever or wherever there is true prayer, he used that word again. Mr. Bowden uses words like that. True prayer. Wherever there is true prayer, there thanksgiving and gratitude stand by, ready to respond to the answer when it comes. Amen. And we always say, when you pray, we just read it, when you pray, believe that you receive. So you can thank God right then and there. You don't have to wait. As prayer brings the answer, so the answer brings forth gratitude and praise. As prayer sets God to work, so answered prayer sets thanksgiving to work. Does that make sense to you? Prayer, as prayer brings the answer, so the answer brings forth gratitude and praise. We've talked about that. As prayer sets God to work, you pray, God starts to work on your behalf. Amen. So answered prayer sets thanksgiving. When you get the answer, then thanksgiving is at work. But again, I believe that you can be thankful when you pray. You don't have to wait until you see the answer. Thanksgiving, this is Mr. Bounds saying this, thanksgiving follows answered prayer just as day succeeds night. Here we go again. True prayer and gratitude lead to full consecration, and consecration leads to more praying and better praying. He said that earlier. A consecrated life is a life of both prayer and thanksgiving. A consecrated life, our author says, is a life of both prayer and thanksgiving. The spirit of praise was once the boast of the early church. I was trying to see, I had a little note here about consecration. You know, what did that word mean? Having made or declared sacred. Amen. Set apart. That sounds like sanctification, doesn't it? Set apart or dedicated to the serving of a deity. That's one of the definitions that I found of consecration. You know, you can look it up and find others. But let's go on. The spirit of praise was once the boast of the early church. That this spirit of praise, Mr. Bounds said, it's sadly deficient in our present day congregations. Now, that's not true. I can speak for Word of Life Christian Center. That is not true for Word of Life Christian Center. There is a spirit, there has always been a spirit of praise that is present here in the congregation. And I believe that spirit of praise is present in LTMA churches. And, you know, those of you or students who've been through here, through the school, there is a spirit of praise. You've learned the importance of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. Mr. Bounds said, to restore the spirit of praise to our congregations should be one of the main points with every, and then he uses the word true pastor, amen? Restoring the spirit of praise to our congregations should be one of the main points with every true pastor. The normal state of the church is set forth in this declaration. And then he quotes Psalm 65 and 1. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow of praise be performed. Amen. Amen. Praise is so distinct distinctly and definitely wedded to prayer, so inseparably joined, Mr. Bounds said, that they cannot be divorced. We're talking about prayer and praise, amen, or praise and prayer. So inseparably joined that they cannot be divorced. Praise is dependent on prayer for its full volume and sweetest melody. Singing, Mr. Bounds said, is one method of praise. Amen. Singing is one method of praise. Now, we know this in most of our churches as that period of praise and worship, where we're singing unto God, we're praising God, we're thanking God, we're lifting our hands. Amen. He says, but praise is dependent on prayer for its full volume and sweetest melody. Singing, amen, singing, he says, is one method of praise. But then guess what else he says? Not the highest. Amen. He says, that's not the highest method of praise. It is true, but it is the ordinary and usual form. Talking about the singing, when we think of praise, the first thing that usually comes to our mind is praise and worship in the service. Amen. Praise and worship in the service. But how often do we ever think about that time in our devotion, that time in our own personal, private prayer, that we take the time to just praise God, to just thank God? And we've talked about this before. It is so important. You know, one of the things that we do before we ask God for anything, you want to begin to praise Him. You want to begin to exalt Him. You want to tell Him how much you love Him, how thankful you are before you ask for anything. And then there should be times, Apostle is always stressing this to us, there should be times in our personal devotions and our personal prayers where we don't ask God for anything, but that when we take the time to look around and see everything that God has done for us, amen, we just want to begin to just say thank you. You know, just thank Him. I mean, I don't know what all you have to thank Him for. You know, I can just go on and on and on. You know, people say, you know, if you only knew my story. Amen. If you only knew my story. But I have so much. I have so much to be thankful for. I'm so grateful. Amen. So grateful. Praise is dependent, again, on prayer for its full volume and sweetest melody. Singing is one method of praise, but he said that's not the highest. But it is the ordinary and usual form. The singing service, now he really, really talks about the singing services. When you read this, you'll see. The singing service in our churches has much to do with praise. Amen? Has much to do with praise. For according to the character of the singing will be the genuineness or the measure of praise. But then he goes on, much of modern singing in our churches is entirely foreign to anything like hearty, sincere praise to God. Like I said, that is not true at Word of Life Christian Center. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The spirit of prayer and of true praise go hand in hand. Spirit of prayer and true praise go hand in hand. Both are often entirely dissipated, prayer and praise, by the flippant, thoughtless, like singing in light, L-I-G-H-T, light singing in our congregations. Much of the singing lacks serious thought and is devoid of everything like a devotional spirit. It's lustiness, L-U-S-T-I-N-E-S-S, and sparkle may not only dissipate all the essential features of worship, but may substitute, listen at this, but may substitute the flesh for the spirit. Now, we've all had opportunities to experience this or see this. You know, it's all about talent. It's not about what I call true praise, true worship of God. Amen. Giving thanks is the very life of prayer. It is the fragrance. Yeah, I guess I could have stayed on that a little bit longer, but we're not. Mr. Bounds is going to talk about it a little bit more. Giving thanks is the very life of prayer. Giving thanks. It is its fragrance and music, its poetry, and its crown. Prayer, bringing the desired answer, breaks out into praise and thanksgiving. You know, he keeps saying that. Whatever interferes with and injures the spirit of prayer necessarily hurts and dissipates the spirit of praise. Oh, my God. So what we don't want anything to interfere or to injure, amen, the spirit of prayer. He says, because this necessarily hurts and dissipates the spirit of praise. I had a little note here. Don't let anything stop your, and I had, you know, he said praise, and I had in parentheses prayer. Don't let anything stop your prayer and your praise. Amen. Nothing. Don't let it stop it. No matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, continue to pray, continue to praise. Like I said, always find something to thank God for, to praise him for. Amen. The heart must have in it the grace of prayer to sing the praises of God. The heart must have in it the grace of prayer to sing praises of God. Spiritual singing is not done, there. Yeah, he says it again, by musical taste, high sound, amen, or talent. Amen. It's not done. Spiritual singing is not done by musical taste or talent, but by the grace of God in the heart. Nothing helps praise so mightily as a gracious revival of true religion. He uses that word a lot in the church. The conscious presence of God inspires song. The conscious presence of God, when you know he's there, amen, it inspires song. The angels and the glorified ones in heaven do not need, listen at this, artistic presenters to lead them, nor do they care for paid. Now, this was real foreign to me. Second year students might remember me saying that. Nor do they care for paid choirs to chime in with heavenly doxologies of praise and worship. They're singing, you know, he's talking about the angels and the glorified ones in heaven. Their singing involuntarily breaks forth from the heart. You know, he talks about paid choir members, and I think he talked about paid choir leaders at one point. He seemed to be really, really hard on some folks. Amen? On some folks. God is immediately present in the heavenly assemblies of the angels and the spirits of just men made perfect. Now, I want you to look at that, because at one time, these were scriptures that we prayed. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, and we're going to read verses 20. Let's start at verse 22, and we're going to go to verse 24. Our author makes the statement, God is immediately present in the heavenly assemblies of the angels and the spirits of just men made perfect. Hebrews 12, verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Verse 23, and this is the verse he refers to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Amen. Our author said God is immediately present in this environment, in this heavenly assembly of the angels and the spirits of just men made perfect. His glorious presence creates the song, teaches the singing, and impregnates their notes of praise. God's presence begets singing and thanksgiving, while the absence of God, amen, absence of God from our congregation is the death, Mr. Brown says, of song, or makes the singing, have you ever heard any lifeless singing, or makes the singing lifeless, cold, and formal, which amounts to the same thing. His conscious presence in our churches would bring back the days of praise and would restore the full chorus of song. Amen. Where grace abounds, song, S-O-N-G, abounds. Where grace abounds, amen, song abounds. When God is in the heart, our author says, heaven is present and melody is there. He's going on and on about the worship service, the praise and worship service. When God is in the heart, heaven is present and melody is there, and the lips overflow out of the abundance of the heart. This is as true, there he gets it, this is as true in the private life of the believer. See, we don't have to wait until we come to church to praise and worship. He says, this is as true, let's go back to what he's talking about. When God is in the heart, heaven is present, whether you're at home or whether you're at church, amen? Heaven is present and melody is there, and the lips overflow out of the abundance of the heart. This is true in the private life of the believer, as it is so in the congregation of the saints. The decay of singing, the dying down and out of the spirit of praise in song means the decline of grace in the heart and the absence of God's presence from the people. Amen. The absence of God's presence from the people. Oh my God. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. Our author says the main purposes of all singing. Okay. Important. Important. Make a note. And when you read the chapter, you'll see the main purposes of all singing are for God's ear. Amen. They are for God's ear, to attract his attention and to please him. And I made a note, not men. Amen. You know, sometimes, talented, gifted, they're singing to men, to people. They want to impress them. Amen. But when you realize that your singing and your praise song, it's for the ears of God. Amen. To attract his attention and to please him. Mr. Bounds goes on. He says, it is unto the Lord. It is for his glory and to his honor. Certainly it is not for the, there he goes again. Certainly it is not for the glorification. He talks about this paid choir. I don't know. Amen. Glorification of the paid choir to exalt the wonderful music. It is not, amen, certainly it is not for the glorification of the paid choir to exalt the wonderful musical prowess of the singers, to draw people to church. You don't want people coming to church just for the singing, just for the praise and the worship service. You want them to come to hear the word of God. Amen. Yeah, you can enjoy the praise and the worship and the singing. You can enjoy it, but the word of God, that's the gospel. That's the main forte. He goes on and he says, let's go back and read this. Talking about the singing and the praise. It is unto the Lord for his glory and to his honor, for his glory and to his honor. Certainly it is not for the glorification of the paid choir to exalt the wonderful musical prowess of the singers, nor to draw people to the church, but it is for the glory of God and the good of the souls of the congregation. Amen. Amen. Yes, when you begin to realize that, you know, you're singing again and you're praising for the glory in God and to the honor of God, then people are going to get blessed. People are going to get genuinely blessed. Amen. How far, Mr. Bounds says, has the singing of choirs of churches and modern times departed from this idea? It is no surprise that there is no life, he says, and I said, this is not true at Word of Life Christian Center. I can only speak for Word of Life. You can speak for your church, amen? It is no surprise that there is no life, no power, no unction, no spirit in much of the church singing heard in this day. Now, I don't remember. I was supposed to look at the date he wrote this. It is sacrilege for any but sanctified hearts and holy lips to direct the singing part of the service of God's house of prayer. It is sacrilege for any but sanctified hearts, amen, and holy lips to direct the singing part of the service of God's house of prayer. Much of the singing in churches would satisfy as mere, oh my God, he gets really down here. Mere entertainment, pleasing the ear. And then he refers to Psalm 67 and 5. Let the people praise thee, O God. And then Psalm 147 and 1. For it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The music of praise. For there is real music of soul in praise. It is too hopeful and happy to be denied. And then he refers us to Philippians 4 and 6. Let your request be made known unto God. Amen. And he talks about when you go on the peace of God that passeth all understanding. For there is real music of soul in praise. Is too hopeful and happy to be denied. Prayer is described as requests. Describes prayer as asking for a gift, giving prominence to the thing asked for, making it emphatic, something to be given by God and received by us, not something to be done by us. We can't do it, amen? We can't do it. We have to go to God. All this is closely connected with gratitude to God. We are to be specific, amen? Make note. We are to be specific and particular, and bring to the knowledge of God by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving our particular requests. The things we need, the things we greatly desire, there must be thanksgiving. The main thing I want you to see here is specific and particular. Then I had a note, Isaiah 43 and 26. That's the verse that talks about put me in remembrance. So, you know, that's what we're doing. We're putting God in remembrance of his promises, of what he has said. 43, okay, I got a minute and a half. 43 and 26, and we're going to finish this. 43 and 26. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Amen. Put me in remembrance. Be specific and particular. Amen. And always remember there must be thanksgiving. On earth, we're called upon to praise and give thanks. The angels in heaven and the redeemed spirits of saints are doing this also. What God wants us to do on earth, we will be engaged in doing throughout unending eternity. That's what we're going to be doing. Praise and thanksgiving will be our blessed employment while we remain in heaven. And I made a note, while we remain in heaven, well, when I go, I plan to stay. I don't plan to leave. Amen. And then I had a note here of rehearsal. When we praise and we worship here on earth, it is sort of a rehearsal for what we're going to be doing in heaven. Amen. So we want to learn now how to pray true praise, true worship, true thanksgiving, according to our author. Be blessed. Y'all have a happy holiday season, and I'll see you next semester. Bye-bye.